ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Saturday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
The West Tigers, that news finally being confirmed. MC, you've been on this since, what, middle of the week?
Yeah, I think Thursday, word started to filter through regarding Jerome's impending exit from the West Tigers. Spoke to Tigers officials on Thursday. They were hoping to get through the game last night before publicly announcing it on Monday, but these things don't always go to plan. So Jerome Luai leaving the West Tigers, and I get it. From the West Tigers, I get it. I understand what they're doing. He's already intimated to them that he's not going to be at the club beyond next season. So, start implementing their change, and part of that change is re-signing Latu Fanu and Samuel Fanu and get those two across the line, having already re-signed a stack of players already for next season.
Contracts just literally don't mean anything anymore, do they?
Well, his contract's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but he still was under contract for next year. So they've let him go a year early before those player options kicked in.
The only thing that safeguards...
But yes, it was weird.
It was a weird deal. So the original deal, which was trumpeted as a five-year contract, ended up being two guaranteed years, which was last year and this year, then an option each year for the final three seasons.
In whose favour?
In Jerome's. So technically, he took up the option for 27.
So for example, though, if he wants to stay then next year because he can't go anywhere, he can stay.
Of course he can, because he's contracted, right? And that's what I was about to say. The safeguard, the only thing that's safeguarded in contracts is the player's value, because they will get that money, right? So he's on $1.2 million for next season. He will earn $1.2 million next year.
So how will that work if he goes to, well, everyone's suggesting Parramatta, but whether it's Parramatta or anyone else, there's no way they're paying $1.2 million for one season out of someone. So how's that going to work? How much will the Tigers have to cost?
Might have a bit of a breakdown in MC's Hammer Time.
Oh, you're going to leave me on the edge of my pew. That seems much too high profile for MC's Hammer Time.
Well, if we're going to get that there at the MC's Hammer Time, what about, do you really think it's going to happen at Parramatta? I find that so hard.
So the two clubs that are in for him, Parramatta and Perth, right? Perth, I think he's going to end up at Parramatta. I think it's going to take it's going to take a spectacular change of heart for him to go to Perth, but that hasn't stopped Perth over the last 24 hours from trying to push ahead. We're trying to get Jerome there next season.
That would be historic if he signed with Perth, wouldn't it? That someone's played for two startup teams in back-to-back years.
It would have happened in Hunter Mariners and Melbourne.
Yeah, well, Brett Camorley was one, wasn't he?
If he played in first game for Hunter Mariners, I'm not sure. But Paul Marquette? First Paul Marquette.
Back rower?
It is. But yeah, so I don't know, something like that. But it is rare. It definitely is rare. But you look at the Eels situation, and that they had Jonah Pezza for 12 months this year, and that hasn't worked out. But it's completely different. All right, aside from the length of contract, the players are completely different. Jonah's an on-the-ball halfback, wants to dominate a side, and they've already got that in Mitch Moses. So Jerome and Mitch actually complement each other far better.
What does that mean for Volkman?
Well, they've been talking, but they haven't reached any. It seems like they're not even really close to a new deal, Parramatta.
I did a story yesterday. It's in today's paper regarding the Volkman situation, and the two parties won't come to an agreement. Unless something changes significantly, he's now gone to market. So for the last couple of weeks, they've been close to, well, thought they were going to get a deal done, but for whatever reason, they haven't been able to. So his agent emailed the rest of the competition this week and said, Ronald will not be at the Parramatta Eels for next season. Register your interest in him. So that indicates twofold. One, that he's not going to be there, and two, that the most likelihood is that Jerome's at the Eels next year.
By the way, in NRLW, Emma Manselman converted the try for the Cowboys. West 24, North Queensland 14. 10 minutes to go, and the Cowboys are storming home. So the question, we were talking about this on air last night, MC, but the question about whether this has been a successful $1 million-plus-a-year player or not, on the field, to me, the answer is a definite no. But the intangible is the credibility he gave the West Tigers, which is also what the PNG Chiefs have been banking on, to attract others and other players in the comp treating West more seriously. So I don't know how you weigh
the
good and the bad.
No, you nailed it. That's right. Exactly right. That's how I feel around the... Look, I don't think Jerome is ever a $1.2 million player on the field. Right, but as you said, I don't think there's a player that's been paid more for his personality in a way and his ability to attract talent and his leadership than Jerome over the last couple of seasons, right? So he was brought to the Tigers and he was a circuit breaker for him because they were, you know, in the midst of three wooden spoons when they signed him, right? So he was very important signing for him. He set the tone. Without him, they probably don't get the Mays, they don't get Taruva, they don't get all these other players signed. And he's been good for standard setting and helping, you know, the young halves come through and all this sort of stuff, right? So he's been an important signing for him, but, you know, he was there to take him to the finals. So if we're judging on field, I think you summed it up perfectly, Andrew. On the field, it hasn't been a success, but what he's done for the side away from the field, I don't think you can put a value on it, and that's where his true value is.
Rugby League is on your radio.
NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Laurie Daly, what a week he's had. What a 6, 7, 8 weeks he's had. But in the end, he is the State of Origin winning coach. And Laurie had a great career as a player, played 23 games. And now he's won a very important series for New South Wales after getting beaten last year. And he's on the line right now. G'day, Laurie. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Andrew. How are you?
All right. Mate, firstly, congratulations. I don't know whether you've ever been under this scrutiny in your entire life, despite everything you've achieved on and off the field. And clearly, judging by the media conference after the game where you were relieved and thrilled for the players, it had taken a toll, hadn't it?
Well, I think it does. You know, I think, to be fair, I didn't realise how much it had grown Origin when I first came back into it. You know, there's a lot more platforms now for people to comment on the game, which is great. But, yeah, it just seems to generate more and more publicity, and we understand that. So, it's great to be a part of, but there's also the downside when you're not doing so well. But, you know, we expect that. And you just got to try and focus in on what you need to do, and that's to try and get the guys to play some good footy. We got it right in Game 3. Obviously, we wanted to play a lot better than what we did in Games 1 and 2, but we got ourselves in a position to win Game 1 and put ourselves in the decider. And once the decider happens, anything can happen, and you've got to put your best foot forward, which we did.
Good preparation doesn't always mean good performance, as you'd be well aware. Sometimes things go right, training or whatever, and the captain's run, you get on the field and everything clicks. Did you have a feeling either in the camp or very early on in the day in Brisbane that this was going to be an on day for your team?
It's funny you ask that question because I've been sick of feeling confident and knowing that our preparation, we couldn't have done any more, and then getting the results that we've had. So I didn't know. I thought we were, it's our best preparation we've had, but I didn't want to say that. I said it to a couple of people privately, but I said, listen, I'm sick of sort of reading how the players are looking or feeling. But there looked to be a real steely resolve within the group that I knew we were going to play good footy. I just didn't know how it was going to turn out.
I know, talking to you, Loz, after Game 1, where New South Wales did win, and we know that circumstances down 20-0 is an historic comeback, ultimately against 12 Queenslanders. And I remember asking you about the starts three times in a row. New South Wales had been down 20-0, and is that preparation? Is it all on Queensland playing great? And you said, yeah, it's something we all have to look at. You were criticised for use of the interchange in Game 2 in Melbourne, if not the selection of the team. How do you reflect on that? Now, obviously, some of the criticism was way over the top and got very personal and was upsetting to you. But in terms of a coaching perspective, do you think that's something you changed and improved upon from one game to the other, or you as a coaching staff, was it something you needed to address, or was it completely overplayed in your view?
Oh, no, I think, you know, you don't make every decision correct when you review stuff, you know, especially when you lose. So you've got to go over it. And, you know, there was some fair criticism there too, you know. I think we'd even admit we got some of those wrong. But what happens in a game is obviously very quick. You've got to think on your feet, and we got beaten to the punch. But we knew, you know, we had the right group. We knew our changes possibly needed to be better. You're right, we got them right in game one, possibly didn't get it right game two. Game three, we nailed it, but they're the decisions that are scrutinised now during a game, and so they should be, because you need to be held account to those things. So, but in the end, I think we got more decisions right than wrong, and I was just so happy for the players that they were able to show me everything I've been sort of wanting from them over the last two series.
Well, Loz, first of all, mate, I want to say a massive congratulations. I want to say a big thank you as well, because you made my night, and you made a lot of the ex-Blues nights an amazing night. So thanks, mate. But, mate, talk to me about how you were feeling when that bell went and you know you got the win, you got the decider up in Queensland. Take me through what you were experiencing at that particular point in time.
Yeah, I was very, obviously, emotional, because we played well, and the boys were... The boys really came together over the six-week period. And, you know, and Louis, you'd know this better than anyone, mate. You know, when they start talking about how we don't understand Origin and Queensland are more passionate, it just drives the nuts out of our players. So I think the fact that, you know, we were under a bit of pressure to perform, plus people were sort of questioning whether we get Origin and how much it means to us, I think that sort of rallies the troops a bit. And so I was really happy and proud that they sort of played well, and they represented the state in the best possible fashion. And, you know, they put some smiles on a lot of people's faces, which is what you do around Origin time. You're representing them. You're not, it's far greater than yourself. You've got to represent your state, your community, your family. There's a lot of things that you and people that you represent and need to play well for. So, you know, I was just happy for everyone to be fair.
Mate, what about, take me into camp with the players that you had in there. You got a superstar side. There was a lot of talk about, you know, arguably the greatest, you know, player that we've had in our game for a long time in Nathan Cleary. Mate, what are these guys like to work with? And how's Nathan during the week when he hears all that type of pressure?
Nathan doesn't change one bit with his preparation. Like, I've never seen a guy that just cares as well as he does. Like, he's... You know, from the minute he wakes up in the morning to the last person in the team room at night, he's stretching, he's rehabbing, he's, you know, watching video, he's doing extra goal kicking practice, he's visualising. He just ticks off everything in terms of his preparation. And you never know with Nathan, because he's quite, I shouldn't say a shy lad, but he's a guy that is just so professional in what he does, and he doesn't waste his words, but when he talks, people listen, and he really led with Yowie throughout the week. You looked at Nathan and you just knew that right from day one, he was going to give up a great performance. I knew that, he was obviously disappointed like we all were in game two, but he came into camp in game three, and right from the get-go, he was very, very, very good with his prep.
Well, mate, you're the coach, and I always sit there and say, people always say to me, you know, if you had anyone, you know, that had to do something for you in a team, who would you pick? The first person I would pick would be Nathan Cleary. He can ice, you know, 40-20s. He can come up with 40-metre field goals. You know, is it good as a coach knowing that you've got a player there, that there is a big moment that needs to step up, that you can sort of pretty much, you know, expect him to deliver?
Yeah, it's funny, Louis, because when we lost in Melbourne, we all, debriefed, obviously, and you're sitting there and you're going, right, what do we have to do better? And then it was like, you sort of analyse everything, and then you sort of come back to, hey, we've got to get the best version of these players. Now, how do we do that? How do we provide the best opportunity for these blokes to be at their best? So, you know, go and have a yarn and sit out with them and see where they're at and, you know, what they think they need and what we need. And once I sort of spoke to Yowie and Nath, I caught up with them for a coffee, and they were so clear on what we were doing, and it was the correct thing. We just needed to do it better. It sort of gives you confidence that they understand the plan, they know the plan, they want to continue with the plan, but we just got to be better at it. So that was, for me, gave me confidence, and the way that they drive it and the way that they executed it was precise, and that's what we were building towards. But we just hadn't seen enough of it for longer periods. We had moments of it in game one, we had moments of it in game two, but game three it was a very good performance from them.
Laurie, congratulations on the win, mate. Well deserved. There was lots of things you said in the post-game presser that caught my attention. One was around Isaiah Yeo, and you said he's the best leader that you've ever come across. Give us an insight into what he does that's different to probably some of the great leaders that you've either played with or coached before.
Well, I think he's an extension of the coaching group, Yoey. He takes it upon himself to, organise meetings, takes upon himself to get groups together, check in on everyone, edges, middles, the way he talks, and he has a presence, the way that he's able to get his message across. He's never flustered. He's never looking at it as it's the impossible. He's always looking at it as a process of, if we deliver on X, Y, and Z, then we'll get a strong performance and a performance we're after. So his ability to articulate, his ability to organise, and then to play well also as a captain and lead is so special. And, you have conversations with him and they're strong conversations, he'll tell you exactly where he's at. Which is what you need with a captain coach relationship, and I've just got so much respect for him that you just understand why Penrith have had a lot of success. Ivan's built a great team, but he's also built some fine young men that have got great leadership qualities, and you sit back in awe and go, wow, you get why Penrith are the team and the club they are.
Brent Reed's written you an open letter this morning. Mate, have you had a chance to read it?
Oh, look, I haven't. I wanted to do after the game was, I get it. I get criticism, so there's nothing wrong with criticism because I think it's open and transparent. But I just think sometimes it's slanted. Sometimes it gets a little bit personal, but. Again, you handle that, but it's the people around you that don't handle it as well. And then when they become involved in it and are upset, that's when you become sort of emotional and more attached to it. So, if it's just me that it was affected, and no one likes criticism, yeah. I get, but I mean, you handle it. You just know what's coming, so that's all right. But it's just, I think most of us would feel the same. If it starts affecting the people that you love, then you feel it more than what you would on most other occasions.
I want to bet Laurie's gone a little bit old school. Got Reedy's article, put fish and chips in it, wrapped it up, and watched it soak through.
Amongst something else he could have done with it.
That's right.
I will never hold a grudge. I'm open and honest.
Yeah, good man. Laws, but what about, obviously there's been lots of talk around your future, mate. You said you've got your mind made up. Yep. When will you let everyone know what you're up to next year?
Oh, I think, mate, it's just more about the team getting their just deserves. I think that, the state hopefully are all proud of the way these players performed and how they ripped in for everyone. So I think it's just let the dust settle and we reflect on how good they were and reflect on New South Wales winning their second decider in 3 years. And, maybe a week or two, we'll sort of come to that. But it's just good to enjoy it and good to see so many people smiling. I was around, been out and about the last couple of days, in particular in the community that I live in, and just see so many people happy and excited and it was really, really great to see.
Yes, I saw an image of you having a beer with Steve Chimes-Gillis yesterday. It looked like the relief was quite palpable. And, you as a player, you played over 20 Origin games for New South Wales and you've had a lot of success and also winning series now in both stints as a coach. And without it sounding like I'm asking that you tell me which kid you love the best, how does that series compare with all the stress and mental energy that went into it, and to come off a bit of a touch-up at the MCG to win up in Brisbane to clinch the series. How does that rank amongst your Origin achievements?
Oh, I think my two favourite ones are obviously the 2014. Like that was very special, 2014. I think, you know, what that group was able to do after 8 years, and those guys, you know, were copping it. And, so to be able to be a part of that and to see the reaction of those guys was, that was hard to beat. And then the other night, it was just good to see, you know, guys like Nathan and just to see everyone just get their just rewards because of the effort that they've put in. Origins are bloody hard to win, you know. The series are hard to win, and the way that this team stuck together and they checked in on each other and were as tight as any team I've sort of been involved in. So that made me proud as a leader that they didn't splinter, they didn't fracture, they came together, they were rock solid, very supportive of everyone, and that makes you proud because that says something about the culture of your footy team.
The moment that stuck out for me was when you went over and embraced Nathan Cleary, and you obviously had a lot of words to say to Nathan, and it clearly meant so much for him. His first series deciding victory in four attempts, and, you know, much maligned. You've been much maligned. It just needed Mitchell Pearce to make the trifecta, really, of maligned New South Wales Origin people. State of Origin's all about moments, and after game one, here where we are now at Stadium Australia, there are about 300 of them, none bigger than Kalyn Ponga's send-off. There are a million of them at the MCG. Is there one moment in the series, Loz, that stands out to you that led to you guys winning?
One moment. I just think it was underplayed or undervalued, the fact that we got up and won in game one. Like, you still got to win, regardless of how many opposition players are on. You still got to be able to come up with those points. So I thought the way we handled it was great. And, you know, like, there's moments. I mean, like, without going over old things, like, people talk about moments, but we could have won the series last year if we kicked all our goals in game two.
Right.
There in Perth. Like, we would have won 30-26, but no one seems to bring that up. It's always, I don't know, we just look at things differently on how we want to sort of judge it or look at it. But there's always moments. There's always things that you can do better. You know, I know that, you know, there's other, you know, guys out there are better coaches than me, but I certainly know that I can bring a certain skill to a group of players to get them up and try and make them compete hard for New South Wales and win. But yeah, talking to one moment, mate, I really got no idea whether there was one. I mean, I was just happy that we were able to win game one.
It's funny though, Loz, hearing you talk, and I'm just staring out to the field here, and I think of the Nathan Cleary 40-20 in game one, and then him scoring that try that was reminiscent of the grand final against Brisbane. That was one moment that's probably been swept away because of the drama of the remains of the series, but that was huge, and there are so many in Origin. Can you now just wear your sandals, put your feet up, have a sports drink and watch the footy now?
Well, that's exactly what I'll be doing this afternoon, Andrew.
Nice.
I'll be having a nice quiet one at home and, just watching the football and sort of not having to worry about, you know, who's playing, who's getting injured. Just watch it as a fan like everyone else and sit there and admire the skill level of the player.
Enjoy it right up to your earballs, Loz. Well, you're great. Yes, good on you, mate.
Karaoke.
Congratulations, Laurie. That's an amazing achievement, really. Again, to go up there, New South Wales has now won three games in a row up in Brisbane, and to do it 30-12 was a remarkable series victory. Well done, mate. Enjoy.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Saturday.
Rugby League is on your radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Well, Louie and I were at Campbelltown Stadium last night. Chilly night for sure, but more cold for the West Tigers, I think. The Warriors ended up running away with it, 32 points to 6. It looked like they were going to score a million in the opening 20 minutes. Then the Tigers fought back, but the Warriors finished too strongly. As always, one of the best for the Warriors is their hooker, Wade Egan, and he joined us online. G'day, Wade. How are you going?
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Well done on the win, maintaining second spot on the NRL table. There's plenty to feel good about with this side, and you've seen so much of it in your time with the Warriors. How is this year comparing to some of the other good years you've had?
Yeah, we have had a couple of good years, mate, since I've been there. But, we're sort of, cliche as it sounds, we're taking it week by week. And, we're going pretty well at the moment, so we can't complain.
The game last night, like I said, you burst out of the blocks. You scored three tries in the opening 17 minutes and your old mate Bunty Afoa was sin-binned and it looked like you were going to run amok. You were making so much ground every set. James Fisher-Harris looked like he had a point to prove with his first game back from injury. He was tearing them to shreds. But then the West Tigers started to fight back. Was that on them improving or you guys dropping off a little bit, do you think?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both, mate. I think our discipline let us down a little bit in that period and we let them back into the game. And obviously, you know, they got star players across their lineup. So, I think we invited them in with poor discipline, drop balls and, penalties out of their end. So, a little bit of our doing there, I think.
Wade, congratulations on your form, mate. And obviously the Warriors, the way that you boys are all playing. But how does it work for you guys? Are you still in Sydney? Are you back in New Zealand? Like, when do you leave? How does that all work?
Yeah, back in New Zealand now, mate. We got up early this morning. We're trying to just get straight out of there at the moment. So we got up at 5:45 and just got straight on the bus, straight to the airport. And we're back in New Zealand, so you sort of try and get that sort of two-day break that most other teams get. So sometimes in previous times we stayed around a little bit longer and got a later flight, but we've sort of worked out that it's just better to get straight back home and get back to families and stuff like that.
Mate, I want to ask you, how did it take you a while to get used to the travel, obviously coming from New Zealand over here? Because I'm very interested in how it's all going to work with the Bears, how it's going to work with Papua New Guinea as well. So, how did you find that adjustment?
Yeah, you just sort of got to try and enjoy it. We play a lot of cards, games. The boys sort of connect that way. I think you got to try and make it fun and enjoyable. So, even on the plane, some of the boys get together and play cards and you sort of got to, it takes a while to adjust, but once you get used to that sort of rhythm and you know what to do, you can sort of get in a little routine and it just makes it a lot easier.
All right. Now, where were you on Wednesday night? Obviously, Origin, the decider. Were you watching? Is it something that you dream of doing? There was a lot of times where your name got tossed up about getting an opportunity this year. Is it something that you still want to continue to, get into?
Yeah, of course, mate. Obviously, you grow up a New South Welshman when you're a kid and you watch Origin all growing up, and that's sort of your dream if you play footy coming from New South Wales. So, yeah, definitely on the list to try and tick off. But, yeah, just trying to play some good footy for the Warriors, and then if that comes, I'll be stoked with that.
Tamara Amata looks like he's done an outstanding job since Tanner Boyd went down injured. How's the tack changed at all with that change in the number 7 jersey from your end?
Not really, mate. We've got a pretty good system there that Webby's put in place, and the guy that comes into the role sort of just plays his footy. I think T and Tanner are obviously a little bit different. To Murray's more off the cuff and sort of plays eyes up, whereas Boydie's a genuine out-and-out halfback that, you know, kicks long, game managers. So we've had to adjust a little bit, but I think both of them suit our team really well.
What about the return of James Fisher-Harris last night? Scored a nice try. Got one over Jerome Luai, and he seemed to enjoy that one.
Yeah. I had to help Romy off the ground. I felt a little bit sorry for him. Fish was standing over him, and he's a scary fella, big fish. So, he was outstanding last night, mate. You know how much we've missed him. You could probably see his impact straight away. He was one of our best last night, and any time he's in the team, he just brings this confidence within the group. So, we're stoked to have him back.
Got the 3 points from Louis in the ABC Player of the Year, James Fisher-Harris. It was a great, great return. So he scored that try really early on. You don't score a heap of tries, Wade, but you really broke the West Tigers back with this in the 53rd minute. Temati Martin kicks it down to the southeast corner. Pressure on Buller. Buller knocked it on. He dropped it. Spews out the back now for the Warriors. And steaming onto the footy is Wade Egan. Over the 10, he's over to score after Jareem Buller couldn't handle the kick. Try awarded to Wade Egan, who I don't think was touched on his way through the goal line. I probably did you a disservice there, Wade. It was a 60-metre run, wasn't it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it was 60. You said steaming onto the ball. That sounded pretty good.
There you go.
My brother's messaged our group chat straight away, said I was on the treadmill. So commentary from you, mate. It's always nice to get a try, especially when it's sort of one like that where it just ends up in your hands and you've got a clear run to the line.
So how do you guys just maintain the focus? There's still a heck of a long way to go, isn't there? Still 8 weeks. Now the origin period's over. From a distance, it's kind of the run home, but there's a lot of work to be done. So how do you guys, with the experience you've had as recently as last year, where things kind of fell apart a little bit late in the season, how do you keep focused and going game by game?
Yeah, you're right, mate. There's still plenty of footy left. You sort of get to 20 rounds, you think, oh, we're nearly done. But there's still, yeah, as you said, 2 months of footy left. So, yeah, it's just about keep preparing well. Obviously, now everyone's got a few niggles and you just got to recover really well and train well as well. So you can't sort of just wait till game day to make it happen. You've got to train well, prepare well. And we're going to try and do that, I think, better than what we did last year.
We're marvelling again last night, Wade, at your lock forward, Aaron Clark. He was so amazing for you guys last year and he's been great again this year, just a workaholic. One of the big improvers, though, seems to be Jacob Laban. He was really good again last night. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, mate, he's probably been our best player the last six or so weeks. He's come on in leaps and bounds. Just sort of shows what just consistent footy can get can do for a kid. And, yeah, he, as I said, he's been our most consistent performer probably throughout the whole year. And you've seen last night line breaks, tackle breaks, offloads. You know, he's a workhorse in defence as well, which is probably the thing people don't see. He's pretty much blowing up the GPS reports every week. So, yeah, really stoked for Jake. He's trained really hard, and now you're sort of seeing the fruits of that.
Just finally, Wade, you know, the NRL is, according to reports, talking to about three different consortiums about a 20th team going to New Zealand, and it seems like there's some resistance in Auckland where you guys are getting sellouts every single week and taking focus off the All Blacks, which no one thought possible. How do you sit on this? Would you like to see another team in New Zealand, or is one enough?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I haven't really thought about it. Like, we got a great response down in Christchurch. And, you know, yeah. I think the demand in a few years might be for a second team. Obviously, we like being the New Zealand Warriors, where we can go to towns like Christchurch and Wellington and sort of we're a whole country team. But if the demand's there for it, I can't see why not in a few years if you know, we're going to get that popular and New Zealand in rugby league is going to get that popular. So I think it can only be a good thing for the country.
We called that game from afar at that new stadium at Christchurch. It looked awesome from a distance. What was it like out in the field?
Yeah, it was unreal. It's one of the coolest stadiums I've played with. Sort of similar to Allegiant in Vegas, I think. It's cool. It was raining sideways outside, and you go in. It's a dry track. So I think everyone's pretty happy with the dry track, so maybe a few more of those need to be built.
Apart from Louis, he loves playing in the wet, even to this day. All right, Wade Egan, great to catch up with you, mate. Well done. You guys have been so fun to watch, and it really is shaping up as an interesting last couple of months with you and Penrith and the Dolphins and the Roosters and the Newcastle Knights. Who knows how it may eke out. Good luck next week, mate. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Hammer Time.
You got some big stuff today, Michael.
Well, let's start with Jerome Luai. It's been the story of the past couple of days, and the West Tigers formally put out a statement saying Jerome Luai will leave the club at the end of this season. And there have been some reports over the last 24, 48 hours that the West Tigers were chipping $200,000. Double it and some. Is my suggestion for whichever club will pick him up. I think it's going to be around that $550,000 mark, around that, for him to play against the side next season. And then, you know, Parramatta are still heavy, heavy favourites to get him.
Are the Perth Bears regarded as any chance?
Well, Perth Bears over the last 24 hours have put the heat up to try and entice Jerome there. And the interesting thing is, if for Perth, is that, well, they've got the money, right? Like, if they wanted to up his deal and give him stupid money for one season, they could make that happen. But it's my understanding he doesn't want to leave Sydney because he's going to have to leave in 12 months' time to go to PNG. So he doesn't want to have to move his family twice in a short period. So I think Parramatta still the heavy favourites to land him on a heavily subsidised contract from the West Tigers. So if that happens, I think it's a win for Parramatta for the 12 months.
Yeah, you've expressed about how valuable that is for Parramatta, Louis. Imagine if you went to the Perth Bears for their inaugural year before going to PNG Chiefs for their inaugural year. That'd be amazing.
It would be amazing. It's only been, like you were saying earlier, it's only been done.
Well, there are about four or five players. Ralphie did put the list up before for the Hunter Mariners into the Melbourne
season. Yeah, but still, that's... But I can understand where Jerome's coming from. I would hate to go to Perth and then move from Sydney, move to Perth, then move from Perth over to PNG. I reckon that'd be tough on the family. But I just can't see Parramatta working. Personally, why would you pay that kind of money for 1 year,
but
one
person?
But it's
not that kind of money, Louis. We're talking $600,000 to $700,000 for Parramatta.
$600,000 to $700,000 when you've got a young kid in Ronald Volkman who's playing good football there at the moment. What are you going to do? Split up two halves, bring someone over for 1 year, and then what? Bring them back in, say, oh, mate, we just wanted to try something for 12 months.
No, Parramatta think they've got two young halves that will be ready in 2028. That's their belief, that neither of them are ready next season, and at least one of them, the hope is two of them, will be ready in 2028.
Where else do you see him being a good fit, Louis?
Well, I don't know, but, yeah, I find it hard to go somewhere for 1 year and then you've either got to split someone up. What are you doing? You're not growing your club. See, unless you genuinely think he's going to make you win a grand final, what's the point?
Our man Connor Watson has been in the same boat. He signed with St George Illawarra, and I think he was talking with him off air, but he was considering he and his fiancée moving down to Wollongong just to completely ingratiate himself in the Dragons for the time he's there, because that's another weird 12-month deal before he heads off for the PNG Chiefs as well. But his plan, he just said, I can't. It's such a weird situation.
Yeah.
And in his case, he's just got to throw himself into it down there.
I guess the thing with Connor is not a half, right? Like, that's probably the difference. He'll probably be a starting lock, maybe a starting hooker, and then, you know, as that second hooker option for the Dragons if he starts at lock. So it's different to the starting half spot, and I actually think I think it's a good deal for the Dragons as well, getting a guy like Connor in for 12 months that I don't have it. Is a half, Louis? Is that the issue? Or
I don't know. I just didn't think you're trying to build a team, you're not going to bring someone in for 1 year to build a team.
So what do you make of Connor going to the Dragons?
Well, Connor's, like, I'm with you. You're right. It's probably a different position. You can bring him off the bench. You're not building the team around him. A halfback, if you're trying to build a 7-9-6-1, you're not bringing someone in for 1 year. That's what I wouldn't anyway. I'd rather be looking at someone that I could build a team around for longer term and get an opportunity to build, you know, a long-term success, not a quick fix.
What I will say about it, I think Jason Rolls needs to win next year. He's had two...
You reckon it's saving his career, buying the safe career or something?
Well, I think he needs to win. I think he needs to get results next year. Otherwise, he'll be under the microscope. Because it's his third year at the club, and they haven't looked like playing finals footy in the first 2 years. So if they get into the situation where they are this time next year, there will be significant scrutiny on his job.
By the way, I think Lincoln Fletcher's that young halfback. Apparently.
And Lorenzo. There's another kid called Lorenzo as well that they've got high hopes on. So I think Lorenzo's slightly ahead in development. But they think they'll one of them, they hope both of them will be ready by 2028.
I can't imagine any of this is true, but there have been plenty of rumours about Mitch Moses going back.
To the Tigers?
Yes. That's no chance, is it?
Well, he just re-signed. I don't know. I wouldn't have thought so.
All right. What else have we got, Mike?
Around the Bears. We'll talk around blows for the Bears before the 3 o'clock game. Jamie Humphries, who, you know, looked like he was all but done at the Bears, is... knocked him back very, very late. Went over to Perth over the last week or so, and has told him over the course of the last couple of days that he will not be joining the Bears next season. Made a couple of phone calls on that. He's not staying at South, so it's interesting to see where he does end up.
No mail about...
No, I'm not sure.
Everyone thought it was done with Perth.
That's right. So you wouldn't have anticipated that he would knock back them without a deal lined up elsewhere.
And they still haven't managed that big marquee signing, have they?
Jerome Luai, maybe.
Well, Jerome...
Moses Leota's the one they want, right? That's the... Yeah. Moses Leota, if they can somehow get him out next season, they'll offer him significant money to move next year.
All right. And finally...
And one more on Perth again. Seems to be a theme today. The salary cap concessions, there was a story a couple of weeks ago regarding the salary cap concessions that they were likely to receive. Clubs have blown up about it.
Right.
So there is some pushback from rival clubs, so that hasn't been formally introduced yet. So it was look likely, but you know, clubs have written to the NRL to reject the proposal designed to help the Bears.
And they're thinking, what, a couple hundred thousand a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't heaps. Yeah,
it was barely enough compared to
half a million dollars that you could have to use it on a couple of players.
Yeah. again, a drop in the ocean compared to the benefits that PNG is receiving.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.